He tried to encourage me that I can have a good, I can have a holiday, you know, in Calgary and do other things too. So I'm just excited because in Vancouver Island, there's some amazing things to see. You know, just I used to go out there a lot, like a lot, like many, about 20 years ago. We'd go there all the time, to the coast and on the island, and it's beautiful there. A lot of people go there to retire, but hey, it's good here too. It's good. It's always greener on the other side of the fence. I could live in any city, I tell you, and I think I would be happy. So, hey, that's okay. So, I think we're going to start. So, can you push that? Yeah. Is it on? Oh. Yeah, okay, great. So, before we start, we just want to give a prayer of union with the Lord. You know, Father in heaven, we just thank you that you are with us to help us, to cause us to succeed and prosper in everything we put our hands to. So we thank you, Lord, that you give your word, your Holy Spirit to guide us, Father. So we receive your help today, Father. And Father, help me to only speak what is true that comes from you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So today's lesson is going to be about God gives us courage. And life, as we know it, is always changing. And everyone is going through different situations, you know. And one day, all of us will face a fearful situation. We will. It's you know, God promised. Well, he's spoken that, you know, we will have difficulties, but I have overcome. I will help you. And, you know, maybe the situation is we're having financial problems or health problems, or maybe we lost a loved one. And it's quite fearful at times because you don't know your future, eh? You know, maybe he was the one that was working, he was supporting you. And now, what am I going to do? And sometimes we're afraid of failure because you know, we're not strong enough to do or smart enough to do this task or this challenge. So, you know, some of us aren't that strong, eh? And so we might feel afraid to take on that challenge. So whatever our fears may be, we must learn how to face them with courage. God's will for us is to be strong and courageous. Therefore, he makes a way that will enable us. He will make a way. You know, we make plans, God directs our steps. He works it out for us. The Holy Bible, God's Word, was written a long time ago. But its principles regarding courage are still true today. The same principles we can take from the Word of God. I'm going to put up a definition of fear first. So put up fear first. Fear. So fear is an internal emotion of distress within us when we're facing imminent danger, feeling threatened, or feeling helpless to avoid or change the situation. Now, on the other hand, courage, we'll bring up courage. Courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger or face opposition or the challenges of life with fearlessness and calmness and resolution. So, God is going to give us this ability to meet that challenge, to meet the opposition, to be fearless, to be calm, to be resolved in pressing through, you know, like firmness in a sense, to be firm. I'm going to see it through because God is the one who is with us. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but let me just turn here for a second. So how does this courage come about in our lives? Well, it starts by what does God say? What does he say? And the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. We need to carefully consider what God says so we won't stumble or lose our way in life. Meditation starts by first hearing the word of God, thinking about it, asking God questions regarding its meaning and its application in our life. The world today constantly bombards us with messages that can tempt us and lead us astray. But when we make the Holy Scriptures our daily bread, our hearts and minds are protected, and we can discern God's guidance for us. We're going to read some passages from the Bible. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And then later, 2 Timothy 1, verses 7. So, Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And turning to 2 Timothy verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. That is from the NSAB book. Right. And I'm going to give you another translation from the New King James Version. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we see that God has not given us, it does not want us to fear, but to be confident in him. And he's given us a power and love because he is with us. I mean, if God is for us, who can be against us? And of sound mind. And you can see in NSAB was discipline, and in the King James Version it was sound mind. This sound mind is like, it could be translated like we have the light of revelation in our minds. We see and hear what God has shown us. The mind is sound. It understands what God is saying. He has given us a spirit of a sound mind. Yes.
Doing right thing at the right time.
Sorry?
Doing right thing at the right time.
Ah, very well. Doing the right thing at the right time. Disciplined. Always doing the right thing. So, yeah, exactly. So, God told Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have success. You know, the Bible is filled with many assurances that God has given us. He gives us boldness to move ahead in obedience to Him. The promises that God gives him, as we see, is that God says, I will give you the land. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. So when God makes a promise, he sees it as already completed. He will bring about it. It's from start to finish. He will. And another promise that he made to Joshua and to Moses, really, my power, presence will be with you. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. We have the assurance of God's word, his presence and power to help us in every situation. And our response should be of thankfulness and of courage. Another promise he gives him, I will give you success. The Lord promised Joshua success if he would be careful to do according to all the law and meditate on it day and night. Meditation on God's word was the only way Joshua would be able to guide the people wisely and to protect them from pagan influences when they were entering the promised land. Like Joshua, we need to read the scriptures to receive God's instruction in order to succeed. Joshua's responsibility is the same for us too. The same response that Joshua is the same response that we need to do. His response was, God says, you need to be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. His success would only come by keeping his eyes focused on the Lord and doing exactly what he commanded him to do in his word. God's victories. God wants us to have the same victories. There is no room for picking and choosing which scripture passages to believe or ignore. If we are consistently listening to God through his word and his spirit, he will train us to discern not only what he is saying, but when he wants us to act. We are to do what he says, when he says, and how he says to do it. The success God promises is not that of the world. In his eyes, success is a godly life that he may use us as witnesses in the world, and that we may help other believers to disciple them, to move in faith. Daily meditation on God's word is a key principle that will help us courageously accomplish all that he sets before us. Meditation includes essential elements like reading. We must first hear what God has spoken in his word and through his Holy Spirit. We must believe. Then we should believe what he says in his word, his promises. For God is a God of holiness. There is no darkness in him. There is no evil. He has shown himself to be consistently faithful and true. We have countless testimonies in the Bible of men where God fulfilled his promises. we need to absorb. Next, we need to absorb Scripture into our thinking so that we can understand it and it governs our thoughts. So, just like when we allow God's Word to show us what He thinks, what He says, it actually causes us to start thinking that same way. It really does. Like in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Where are we? God says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." So he's calling us to be transformed. And really, by that meditation, absorbing, reading and believing and absorbing and applying God's word directs our way of living. If we're applying that word and he directs the way we should walk. We're applying it so that we can have success, so that we can be courageous. Obeying is another element of meditation. Knowing what God has said, we need to respond and complete. We need to respond with complete and full obedience. So, responding in obedience, it's fundamental. We receive His word. We believe what He has spoken to us. We absorb what He is saying to us. We apply it in our walk with Him. We obey. We obey because then He will cause our walk, our life to be successful. He will cause us to prosper. And He will also cause us to be safe from the world. And the world is always tempting us to go a different way. You know, people are educated. They have college degrees and they take courses. And it helps them prosper in the world today, you know. But nothing can compare to God's path for success. If we meditate on His word daily so that we can carefully obey His instructions. The command to meditate day and night doesn't mean we must spend hours every morning, every night in God's word. The Lord can do good works in our lives if we simply give Him 10 to 15 minutes even every day. By meditating on His word, we acknowledge that we need His help. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough to direct our own lives. But with God, we are. As our Lord and Savior, He has every right to tell us what to do. And if we do what He says, He will enable us to live successfully in accordance with His will and plan for us. You know, God's plan for us is actually far greater than we could even imagine. You know, we have got plans and things, but God always wants to give us His best for us. And so we want to be able to listen to Him and obey Him, really. Therefore, since the Lord has promised to guide us, we have nothing to fear if we're following His leadership. He is sovereign over everything and controls all the consequences. There is nothing He cannot handle and nothing He will not provide for us if we listen, trust, and obey Him. God gives us another helper, the Holy Spirit. So God has given us an awesome gift of His Spirit who lives within us. He is the one who convicts us of sin and opens our hearts to accept Jesus. Now, the one of His jobs is to guide us into all truth. When we read Scripture, He helps us to interpret it. Then, throughout the day, he reminds us of those truths, and he convicts us if we sin. No one can live a Christian life without him. Only as we listen to the Spirit will we become Christ-like and accomplish what God desires. He empowers us. So we see that, you know, it is God's very presence in our life that actually empowers us. It's that word that he speaks to us that empowers us. It's that empowerment that actually gives us courage to do the right thing, to stand up, to meet that challenge, to help that person, despite no matter how difficult it really is. So, God is a God of provision. He really is. You know, in Jeremiah, I'm sure some of you are familiar with that. Jeremiah 29:10, right? Jeremiah. That's okay, I'll just read it out here. Jeremiah 29:10. So this is when the Lord is going to bring back the Israelites from captivity in Babylon they were so disobedient to the Lord that the Lord let their enemies capture them. And God used that to bring about a change in their hearts and minds so they would turn to him again. Verse 10 starts off, "For thus says the Lord, when 7 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord." So we see that, you know, even God is a God of mercy and kindness. He didn't forsake them. He still had plans to restore them. And he says, "I have plans for all of you to bring you into that, to bring you into success, to bring you into prosperity." And he says, "I'm with you. You will pray to me, and I will listen to you, and I will answer. I will give you what is best for you. And when you seek me, you will find me." So we see this God we serve is an amazing God. How can we refuse such a loving Father, such an amazing God? This is a call out to you people who have not known Jesus in your life, and that you may be a person who's lived your life with disregard for God and his sovereignty. You may be a person who has lived your life in sinfulness. You know, in the Bible, God speaks of the consequences of sin, and that is, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that's in Romans 6:23, eh? But God rich in love and mercy, has made a way for us all to be saved through Jesus Christ. It begins by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is asking God to forgive you of all your sins based on what he did on the cross. Jesus shed his blood. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. He rose again. He made it possible for you and me to be forgiven, that our names would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we would receive a new spirit born of God, and that we would be sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. What we must do is ask and surrender our life to God. And I encourage you today that you would surrender your life to God who saves. So, Father, we just thank you today that your word is truth and life, and you show us the way. So we thank you, God, that you're a loving God, and that you are a God who desires a presence to be with us continually, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that you are able and willing to help us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.